Yes, Alan, we'll get the recording started now. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to today's AILAC Leadership Team monthly meeting on Thursday, the 30th of July at 2000 UTC. On today's call, we have Alan Greenberg, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Holly Raich, Julie Hammer, who is on the Adobe Connect but not yet listening in on the call, Ron Sherwood, Maureen Hilliard, Yubelkis Montalvo, apologies noted from Leon Sanchez, Silvia Vivanco, Cheryl Langdon Orr, and possibly Tijani Benjema, as the CCWG call is still running parallel to this one. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Ariel Liang, and myself, Lisa Gruber. If I could also remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. I don't know when you downloaded the agenda. It did get changed after I said it was final. So if you downloaded it more than several hours ago, it's probably slightly out of date, but nothing that we can't handle in the call. All right. The first item is the policy activity, and there are a couple of issues that we need to decide on this call. The first one is, I think, and that's the most important one right now, is the GNSO one. Olivier, the last, I had made a suggestion for a new addition at the end. I can live without it, but last I saw, you sent a message saying you wanted to make sure you were comfortable with it because it is going to rock the boat. The addition, for those who didn't see it, is a statement essentially saying what we've said a number of times before, that we believe that the GNSO Council, with half of it controlled by contracted parties, and it is not clear that on critical issues they can make decisions that are in the public interest because of that imbalance. Olivier, do you have any feeling at this point? Do we want to say that? Do we not? It's up to you at this point whether it's included or not.
Yeah, thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, thank you. It's just the internet is a little overloaded tonight. There's something else going on in the room next door. Is there a bit heavy on this, so if I do break up, please stop me while I speak. Now, this last paragraph that you've suggested adding will indeed rock the boat, but then the previous paragraphs we've had in there and our response to some of the other questions in the document will indeed also point in the same direction. What I wanted to check was that we do not, as community, get attacked for having not read the report with enough depth, because we do assert, yes, Alan?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, what we do assert is that the GNSO, Westlake consultant, so the contractor, has not performed any kind of analysis of the both the SO and AC structure, the place of the GNSO, but more in particular, the actual structure of the GNSO Council with the bicameral house. There is actually, there in several places, there are instances where it mentions the fact that they had a look at this, but that the previous review had undertaken this, the creation of the bicameral house, etc., and this review was therefore not in scope the bicameral house and the structure of the GNSO was not in scope for this review. But we have to go against that and say that it should be in scope. I just wanted to make sure that our wording says that we are aware that they had considered it was not in scope. So it's just one last read through the statement rather than actually wanting to come up with additional language or take some language out.
Okay, I chose not to specifically rebut that. I don't believe it was out of scope. And if they say that, I think they're actually wrong. It was not listed as one of the original intents of this review. Along the way, there were a number of other people who said it should be within the scope, and it was not ruled out. The only thing that was ruled out is whether there is a need for the GNSO or not, or some words similar to that. So I don't believe it was out of scope. They also said that this new structure was relatively new. Well, it's now probably 4 years old, at least, maybe longer, I've lost track. And that's not all that new. And there have been some very significant other changes. The lack of the vertical integration issue, where registries can now own registrars, takes the differentiation between the two stakeholder groups on the contracting side and makes that a lot fuzzier. And I believe it's fair game to raise. Now, they can choose to ignore it again, but I think it's fair. I think it's reasonable for us to raise the issue and let them say, no, we're not going to look at it. It's another one of these going on record so that later on, if there is a problem, we can point to it. It's not an I told you so issue, but just to continually raise the issue of public interest. So I think it's reasonable. Yes, it will ruffle some feathers, but it's nothing we haven't said in public forums already. Olivia, are you still there? We appear to have lost.
Yes, please, Alan. I haven't heard.
Oh.
Could you give me the floor?
Sorry. Olivier, the floor is yours.
I haven't heard you giving me the floor, so...
You have the floor.
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Capanello speaking. Thank you. The point is as follows. Page 24 of the Westlake report mentions the GNSO structure and purpose are not within the specific scope of the review, although it was envisaged that matters relating to the GNSO structure might arise around aspects of the review. And then if you look further down in page 25.2, and I'm telling you this for the record, because I have sent you an email on this matter. In section 3.2, defines the scope of the Westlake review based on the RFP. And the RFP, and this is again taking a cut and paste from the report, the RFP grabbed the proposed scope of work for this review as follows. And number 9 says, an independent reviewer to conduct an examination of the GNSO's organizational effective in accordance with the ICANN provided objective and quantifiable criteria. Note that the assessment of whether or not the GNSO has an ongoing purpose will not be considered as part of the current review, which is exactly what you've mentioned there. So they do say, we're not questioning the purpose of the GNSO, but there is the possibility of conducting an examination of the GNSO's organizational effectiveness. Now, what I do find interesting is that that's the only one where the Westlake has interpreted this as, well, let's just look at the working groups, let's not look at the bicameral house, let's not look at even GNSO constituencies, except in the matter of creating more constituencies in the non-contracted house, which we have mentioned in our statement, is actually going to weaken further by dividing further the non-contracted party wells. So further down, I think I'll stop here and then try and read maybe a couple of more points in a moment.
Okay, Libby, I really don't want to spend a lot of time talking about this. I think we need to come to closure, and as I said, I'm willing to let you make the decision. I personally think it's something that is important. I'd like to hear from anyone else. I will point out that they conveniently ignore the fact that although they are strongly recommending there be more constituencies within the non-contracted house, if there is a new constituency added on the business on the business side, all hell is going to break loose because they won't be able to allocate counselors as they are right now.
The contracted party side.
No, no, the non-contracted parties.
Alan,
I've been commercial.
Non-contracted.
Yeah, non-contracted.
Alan, commercial. If I could just add one more thing.
Go ahead.
And there. Okay, thank you. There appears to be a delay in more thing. So Westlake actually on page 81 reviews the BGC recommendations, the Board Governance Committee's recommendations of the last review. And that's recommendation number 10 and 11, restructuring the council membership and councillor term limit. And the observations of the consultant are that the council was restructured following the BGC recommendations. Term limits were introduced at the same time. The council appears functional. It is constructed to balance the various interests. And the analysis that is then provided, and this is just a one-liner, the current structure has been amended relatively recently. It is not broken, and we do not recommend any change at this time. And that's how Westlake closed the door to the issue of GNSO council structure.
Okay, I'm saying I disagree. Holly, your hand is up, please.
Yeah, I guess I can start with the statement by Michael Martin Mueller, who I remember standing up in the public forum saying it's broken, and saying I don't want any more constituency. So, you know, Westlake aside, I'm sorry, it's still an issue. And when you start to have statements about public interest and who represents it, there is a feeling sometimes in the non-contracted parties that in fact they are representative. And I have to say, well, I'm sorry, but you know, they nowhere near have the vast coverage that we have in terms of geography, in terms of language, in terms of etc. etc. So I don't see how we cannot say something about it, whether it's in scope or out scope. I really think it's...
Thank you. So you're supporting keeping some form of the statement I wrote in?
Absolutely.
We either need a decision today or we need the ALT to delegate to whoever, Alan and Olivier and whoever else, to talk about it afterwards, because we have to submit it by tomorrow. I think tomorrow is the deadline. Anyone else want to weigh in on this?
Just one more thing. If it makes people more comfortable, we can preface the statement with, while this issue does not appear to be within the terms of reference, nevertheless, it is an important issue because the ICANN objectives for GNSO are about public interest, and therefore we have to say, well, let's look at the structures and how they actually work.
Thank you, Holly. It wasn't within the specified terms of reference. I do not believe it's out of scope.
They
confirm that themselves by saying they think it's working, case closed.
And Alan, just to say, they do mention the ICANN objectives for them, which include public interest,
and
that's us. So I think there is an in, even though it's not an in the normal way. I think we can hang it on that one.
As Evan has been wont to say over the years, we can comment on anything we want. All right. How about Olivier and I talk about it afterwards? We'll come to closure and put something out to a vote. Is that agreeable with everyone?
Yeah.
If anyone else says they want in, then Holly, we can put you or whatever in also. I saw Maureen's hand up for a moment and then Olivier's. So Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Capin-Blanc, and just for the record, then I take it that I will review whatever is in there at the moment, and I will work with you to find language or perhaps amend the language that's in there to reflect the support that we've received on this call and the input that we've received during the process of gathering input.
Thank you, Olivier. If you can stay up, then we'll do it right after this call. All right.
Unfortunately, impossible immediately after.
Oh.
We'll work it out.
Okay. we have tomorrow as well if you're not otherwise occupied. The other items are translation, transliteration, and I believe Ariel has listed that as stalled. I'm not quite sure why it's stalled. We got a strong recommendation from Satish saying there is nothing, we have nothing particular to say. This public comment is prior to board approval. So unless we are explicitly telling the board, do not approve it, there is a fatal flaw in it, I think that is a no comment, unless someone else knows otherwise. Olivia, your hand is up. I don't know if it's an old hand or not. It was an old hand. Is there any reason, anyone know of any reason why we don't just mark this one, that one, as no comment? No, then it is done. Ariel, are there any others we need to discuss? There is one that Maureen is drafting a statement on. I don't think we need to discuss it on this call.
Yes, there's other, there's one, sorry, this is Ariel speaking. There's one more public comment that is on a very important issue topic. It's the next generation GTLD registration directory services to replace WHOIS preliminary issue report. You asked Carlton to review that report, and he did, and he posted a comment there, but we didn't get further input on that.
What was the
perhaps I'm pasting the link in the chat. So we have a bit time to decide what to do, but I think we should, if we want to issue a statement, we should start working on that sooner than later.
My recollection is his comment was that the preliminary issue report was quite complete. Unless he identified things that were missing in it that we believe they should be adding, I'm not sure, and Holly is the other person who's worked to some extent on this. The whole concept of the preliminary issue report is to make sure that there's no factual errors in it and to make sure there's nothing missing that should be covered. Holly?
Yeah, I did have a look at it. In one sense, there's nothing to say. I agree with Carlton. In another sense, it's an absolutely huge issue because it says, well, what information should be collected, why, what do we do with it, which basically is fundamentally all about just questioning the whole WHOIS concept and what is retained, what is published and stuff, and it actually makes a lot of the discussions going on in sort of the WHOIS implementation team and the privacy proxy thing. It's like we're going down one path saying why do we need the data and the other is what do we do about the people with the data. They're a direct contrast, and in one sense it is a huge issue, but for this paper only, I'd accept what Carlton says. We don't need to say anything because the report's okay, but this is just going to be huge. It's going to be years on this issue, frankly.
And that's not particularly surprising. We may want to say that we want to divide the project. It should be divided into things. Ariel, what's the deadline for submitting on something on this?
It's September the 6th.
Okay, we have plenty of time. I would suggest anyone else who has an interest in it, take at least a brief glance through it. I will certainly do that, and let's try to come to closure at the next meeting or prior to that.
I'll have another look, but in one sense it is just a huge issue that's going to take everybody's time for the next few years.
That's not particularly surprising.
No, it's not.
It's occupied a lot of people's time for the last decade. Ariel, are there any other issues we need to do? We've now spent 25 minutes on a five-minute item.
Very quickly on the IDN-related public comment, we have an Armenian community member volunteered to write about it. It's Naring, but she may have some technical issues. So not technical, but difficulty to understand that report. So I'm not sure what would be the best way to help her, because it's related to Armenian script and it's very technical as well. So,
okay. Ariel, are there any other issues other than that one?
Nope, that's the only one.
Okay, then I'll talk to her and try to make sure she understands what it is we're looking for in a statement. I appreciate her volunteering, but she really needs some hand-holding to make sure that she understands the concept of what we're responding to. So I'll take that on. If you could put an action item for me on that, I'd appreciate it. All right, the next one is the CCWG. I don't think there's an awful lot to talk about the content. As you know from the last reports, there's a huge amount of work going on. The CCWG is still meeting right now in its fifth or sixth hour today.
Hello, we've just stopped.
It just stopped. Okay. So
been here for a little tiny while.
CCWG has met for 5 hours today and is close to finalizing the proposal that will be going out for public comment within a day or so. There's two things I think we need to decide on in this call, or at least start discussion on in this call. The first one is we are going to have a public comment issued within 40 days or so, and this time it would be nice if we didn't do it all in the last week. There's no real need to, because things are not the ground is not changing under us as it was last time when we were in the midst of drafting. My personal preference is, to the extent possible, we should try to put out an ALAC consensus point on any issues we want to raise. To the extent that is not possible, we will do what we did in the last CCWG comment, and that is put out the varying positions of people within that large. But to the extent possible, we're likely to have more effect if we can actually make a specific statement. I'm happy to do some of the drafting. I'd like someone else to be working with me. And I will, if we have any volunteers on this group, or if Leon feels comfortable in doing that, or maybe Cheryl feels comfortable in doing that, I'm not sure. But I think we don't want to put it off to the last moment. I think we have general agreement that, although it may not be exactly what we imagined, most of it is something that we can live with. I know I have some concerns with some of the areas that I think we need to flag, whether they change or not, and I'm sure there are other ones that other people have. Olivia, your hand is up.
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivia Capanoblon speaking, and I, having, of course, followed all of the accountability track and the work of the CCWG and been subjected to the flood of recent emails and headaches, I would be happy to help you out with the drafting or even perhaps give it read after you put together a first draft.
Okay. Yeah, I think like the previous ones, the first thing is to identify just in bullet form what the issues are we want to raise. And to the extent we can get people to contribute at that stage, we will not have to rewrite the final document 1,200 times like we did last time. The second issue is, I think we need to quietly start the discussion of, assuming all of this goes through, at some point there will be voting power for the ALAC, and the question is, how are we going to organize that? We do have 5 votes, which implies there will be some regional component to this. It is, however, an ALAC vote, and I think we have to, I believe that is important. I don't think that dismissing directors or something is something we should be going out to a poll of ALSs for. It's going to be hard enough getting the people who are heavily involved in this process to be well-informed. And I think being well-informed is an absolute critical part of this process. Any thoughts? Cheryl's tick has a tick mark. Anyone else want to speak on this? I think we need, there's no rush, of course. We're we're many, many months off from ever having to exercise any powers. But I think we want to start laying the groundwork for something. All right, I see a couple of ticks saying we should do something about it. I haven't heard any objection, and so sometime over the next few months we need to go back to this one. I just wanted to raise the issue that it is something that has to be on our within our Periscope view. The next item is selection of the ALAC member for the Working Group on IDN Implementation Guidelines. My recollection is we have three candidates at this point. We have one person from Nigeria who, as far as I can tell from his CV, speaks no languages that require IDN and has had no exposure to IDN. Ariel, I know you were supposed to have asked, or you have asked him, has he responded at all?
This is Ariel speaking, he didn't.
Okay. The second person has apparently significant knowledge of IDN. He's an Arabic speaker. He has been involved in related issues. It's not clear what his relationship is with At Large. And again, Ariel, you asked him that. Did we get a response from him on that?
This is Ariel speaking. Yes, he did have a response. Do you want me to read his response? It's very short.
Sure.
Do you want me? Okay. Quote, I am not officially affiliated with any large structure. I have years' experience working with the IDN users and have been following at large work extensively. I deal with IDN issues daily and will definitely be contacting many of the at large members for discussions during the course of this work. I will be discussing with them how this document can help promote the IDN business and technology.
Okay, thank you. And lastly, we have, I understand, I haven't actually seen it myself, but I understand we do have an application or expression of interest from Satish. I guess I'll open the floor at this point to suggestions on where do we go. The ALAC gave the ALT discretion in consultation with the IDN user, the IDN working group. I feel a little bit uncomfortable since Satish is one of the applicants tossing it to the IDN group. At the time we made that decision, my understanding was he had not applied. But I guess I'd like to open the floor on both how do we make the decision, and to the extent that it is an ALT recommendation, if nothing else, then which do we select? And I see no hands. Olivier, I know you had an opinion. I don't know if you wish to speak or not. Holly, your hand is up.
I think it's clear, knowing neither of the candidates, well, not knowing the person who's been working a lot on IDN, maybe a vote, but in the vote, I think we need to understand exactly where this person who's got a lot of IDN experience, but we don't know this person, up against Satish, because I'm not familiar with how much Satish has been involved in the whole IDN issue as well. I think I'd almost like to see both reasonable candidates put forward a statement about why they'd like to be involved and then let us have a straw poll of some sort.
Well, I believe both of them have put in such a statement.
Okay, so could we maybe publish both and say...
Ariel has put them all on a wiki that is accessible to you.
Yep, thank you.
But we have till tomorrow, I believe, or Monday, to make a decision. We don't have a lot of time on this.
Okay.
In answer to your question, Satish has been the one who has penned a number of our statements on IDN issues, so I'm presuming we have given him that responsibility based on knowledge and not pure whim.
Oh, yes.
So that's number one. I'll let Cheryl and Olivier speak for themselves first. Go ahead. Cheryl?
Oh, okay, thanks. I was, Cheryl for the record, I was just going to say what you're really needing to decide between is a known and an unknown. And I would certainly suggest to Holly that I have no doubt about Satish's ability in the IDN world. He came from being an active participant in the IDN work group while I was still involved to leading that group and indeed, as Alan just said, penning a number of documents. So it's really the choice between a known and an unknown. And I would caution you to realise that we've had unknowns come and bite us in the bum before, so beware.
Olivier.
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Crapin-Leblanc speaking. What I wanted to try and find out is whether that unknown person or person who is not a member of at-large or of an at-large structure but is following at-large was actually involved in the IDN working group. And if that's the case, I actually also wonder whether if that's the case, whether our chair of the IDN working group knows that person, and then perhaps we could work something out between them. What I would say effectively is I think if the chair of the IDN working group is could be the pen holder, but work with this person, it might be a potential solution to actually bring more people in our community that have knowledge of these issues. That said, yes, having just that unknown person as a sole pen holder is probably not something I would recommend.
Yeah, my recollection is, and Ariel, correct me if I'm wrong, is he is not a member of the working group and has not been a member of the working group, and he isn't on the mailing list. He has said he has followed what they were doing. I'm not quite sure what that means. So I'm at a bit of a loss. I haven't looked at the request from whoever this request came from. Are we only allowed to send one person? Are we allowed to send alternates? Exactly what was it we were asked? And forgive me for not looking at it myself.
Alan, if I may, this is Sarah speaking. We are only limited to select one member, so only one person. And about the person's relationship to the IDN working group, he said he is an unaffiliated member, but I do not really understand what that means. And I double-checked all the mailing lists that a common at-large member will subscribe to. He doesn't subscribe to any of them at this moment, but he is known to one of the at-large members, Ali Amashar. He knows about this person, and they're from the same country, and he met him before, and he said, Ali said this person is the ICANN 53 fellow, so perhaps we can get more information from Ali about that person. And lastly, how that person got to know about this position and then approached ALAC, I received an email from this person. I just posted his link in the chat. I think he's ICANN staff, and he's the stakeholder engagement in the Middle East, and he forwarded that unknown person's profile and told me he is interested in applying to become an ALAC rep for that group. So, yeah.
Okay, Heidi is saying we probably have a few more days. An alternate is a good idea. Can you confirm if they would allow a formal member and an alternate? I think that would be useful. Can someone thank you?
I like the music.
Well, I don't mind the music, but I'm not going to compete with it. Olivier, you in an email, and I don't remember if it was a public or a private one, said you were a little bit concerned about Satish being overloaded. I guess I don't have that concern, I've been a person on times who has applied for things when I'm already overloaded. And, you know, if someone is willing to make the commitment, I'm not going to judge for them whether they're overloaded or not. Cheryl, you have your hand up.
I do indeed. I just wanted to say the point made that Ariel pointed out in response to your question, Alan, about can there be only one, or whether the proposal that Olivier quite sensibly put forward could work, I think still can work. If you choose to, you know, introduce fresh blood into the system and support this person, and particularly if Ali is able to work back channel with him, and I can certainly work back channel with Ali, you could make it clear that any ALT / ALAC endorsement of this relatively new individual, fellows are relatively new individuals and they are still untested, although worthy of being tested, should go with an expectation from you that he works informally but extremely closely with the leadership of the existing IDN work group, and it will be under the close scrutiny of the ALT in terms of performance metrics and contributions. That might give you the luxury of taking a risk and minimizing it. Thanks.
Okay. Heidi will check whether we do have the option of naming a person and an alternate. That's number one. Number two, Cheryl, can I ask you to speak to Ali and find out to what extent he believes this person, obviously he believes the person can do the job technically. The question is, can this person really interface with a bunch of people he doesn't know and hasn't worked with before and not simply take his own positions and put them forward as at-large positions? It's really the question of how well does he know this person and his character and, you know, his style of work.
I can do, Alan, and more importantly, I'm quite confident that culturally we can make that happen regardless.
I understand that. All right. If you can do that, Heidi, come back to us with a decision, with a statement of exactly how much flexibility we have, and then we'll try to work together to make a decision close to Monday, if not by Monday. Next item on the agenda is the
Alan, this is Heidi.
Go ahead.
ALAC development session.
Yeah.
Next steps. And this was in Buenos Aires, it was agreed that the ALT would be developing the details of this development session.
Okay. This, as you, I hope you all know, this is a session which will take place on the Friday at the after the meeting in Dublin. It is a session to get the new ALAC, which will be largely similar to the old one, to work together to perhaps do some professional development, to get the people familiar and comfortable with each other, and especially try to integrate the new people into the group, assuming there are new people. Again, we don't know to what extent there will be. And the real question is, what do we do? Now, Heidi, the GNSO has, the GNSO has done this twice. The last time, I'm told, was less successful than the first one. And I'm told that, unlike the previous ones, we may not have a budget for external facilitation, which certainly did happen in the case of the first GNSO one, which I participated in. I don't know to what extent it happened, although Cheryl, I believe, was there to the second one.
Yep.
Cheryl, can you give us a two-sentence answer as to how effective did you feel that day was?
Okay. Ryder, I only was able to attend the first part of the day. Oops, sorry, I had my microphone in the wrong position because I was drinking coffee and I forgot to reline it up. I was only there for the first part of the day, which was very much the meet, greet and team building. That worked well. I left partly through the after the structure and function, which is also useful, and during the strategic work. I believe, however, that based on what I saw, it was well worthwhile.
Okay. Heidi, could I ask you to come out to dig up for us the agendas of their two meetings so we have some idea of what the model is that we're basing ours on? We don't have a lot of time, as you know, to organize this and make sure we have committed resources to it. Heidi has suggested that there are ICANN staff who will be at the meeting that can act as facilitators. So, Heidi, if I can ask you to give us as examples the previous two GNSO ones and give us a very brief one-paragraph CV of the people that you are thinking of as being people we can rely on, then I think we'll take it from that. I don't think there's a lot of merit in discussing individual items on this meeting until we have something in front of us to look at. Is that something you can do?
Hi, Alan. This is Heidi. Yes, I can do all of that. I've actually reached out to the staff person and asked if she would be available. She has yet to get back to me. But, yes, I can definitely take a look at the last two GNSO agendas. May I also bring up some other issues that it would be good to know some responses to or your thoughts to?
Please go ahead.
Pretty quickly. Okay, the first one, Alan, as we discussed, was did you still want an ALT meeting that day? And if so, what time? And then also what time for this development session?
Well,
I'll
give my answer. We'll see if anyone else has other answers. I believe an ALT meeting will be useful. We don't know to what extent we're going to be able to have them in the future, although I think Heidi came back and said for Marrakesh there is a good chance we'll be able to do something on the Friday or whatever the day is after the official meeting closes, but don't count on it for the B meeting, I think was the answer you came back with. So, yes, I think we do want an ALT meeting for this one, a debriefing. If we have two options. We can either hold it before the development session or after. After, people are going to be totally exhausted. We're likely to want to do something, some social event afterwards, and the chance of getting Steve or David or anyone late in the day is virtually nil, I would think. So my recommendation would be to start perhaps earlier than we want to get up on the Friday and do the session before the professional development session.
So, Alan, this is Heidi. Would that be an 8 o'clock start, just to let you know? Diesel is going to give you some details, but it looks like the earliest we get into the convention center will be 8.
I would think 8 till 10 or something like that. If it's 8:30, I won't cry. We need to decide how many hours we need for the professional development, and we know that can't go much past 5:30 or 6. People will just be dead at the end of the week anyway. So I think we need to figure out how many hours we need and then work back from that. But I'm assuming we can squeeze, if we push things tight, we can squeeze the ALT meeting into 2.5 hours or something like that without suffering too much.
So, Alan, this is Heidi again. So it sounds like right now ALT in the morning, 8 to 10, and then the development session approximately 10:30 to 7:30 max with a social event following.
I would think so.
Okay.
I don't want to.
So then,
I don't really want to commit those times in concrete right now, but yes, I think that's reasonable.
Approximate, yes. Okay, could we move on then to other issues related to that?
Go ahead.
Okay, another one then, interpretation. Now, the ALT does not have interpretation, and there for the rest of the development session going late into that day, I have heard that we are promised internet, but not interpretation.
given we're talking, if I remember correctly, about the ALAC proper.
Correct.
We do not know of the people we know will be there who have some problem with English. We are talking only about Haja, I believe. I think her term is continued.
No, it is
no.
Not.
No,
I believe
Haja is being replaced by Shun.
Correct.
Okay, so there is no one that we know needs interpretation. We, of course, have no clue who the Latin American person replacing Fatima will be. But I would like to think that they have sufficient English. And professional development sessions, especially if we break up into little groups and things like that, just do not work really well in with interpretation. So my inclination is to say no interpretation, but I welcome other input at this point.
So this is Heidi again. Just to reiterate, there are no funds for interpretation, and having interpretation would require the interpreters to stay a full extra day, all the equipment to stay an extra day. So it is a significant extra cost, which we don't have any funds to cover.
Okay, so you're asking us, do we want interpretation, which we can't, which we have no money to cover, unless we go around the table and take contributions.
Alan, your rules say ALAC works in English. ALAC works in English.
I understand. The rules do say that. I seem to remember I had some part in writing those rules. I also seem to remember an at-large review which says the ALAC works in English. I don't think we need to discuss this a lot more.
Okay. We'll move on then, as Olivia said.
I'm hearing no one object.
Okay, and my final question is that you've mentioned the social event for the evening. What were you thinking for the lunch? Did you want to have that on site? I know that the conference center does not have a kitchen, so it would basically likely be only sandwiches, et cetera, if you did want something on site.
I was assuming we would be able to go out for dinner unless people had other commitments.
No, for lunch, I meant. Sorry, this is Heidi.
Oh,
for lunch.
Oh, heavens. And
well,
let me guess. We don't have any budget for that either, correct?
I think we have budget for that, yes. There is budget for that, but...
So we have budget for it, but there's no availability of food.
Well, it would mean either sandwiches or we would need to find some place close by and then quickly go there.
Or we could order out. I bet you Dublin has order out places.
We could put that in the parking lot, as I say, and Gisela could probably look into it. How's that?
I think we could probably find something to order out, whether it's pizza or something else.
Okay.
And we can even canvass people ahead of time.
Okay.
Okay. Anything
thank
else,
you.
Heidi?
No, thank you very much.
Okay. Moving right along, I put a next item of leadership training program. To what extent have we communicated with the regions, warning them that they're going to have a name by a certain date?
Alan, this is Heidi.
Yes, Heidi.
Yes, I have sent reminders to all of the RALO chairs, secretaries, VPs where they are, as well as the ALAC leaders. And we have a good number of people who have indicated who they would like, with the exception of Uralo, who is not committed yet. AP Uralo has one possible other person. Let's see. LAC Uralo has identified two people, and Uralo has identified two people.
Okay.
And AP Uralo is taken care of.
All right. Do we have those names posted somewhere or available for us to look at least?
I can either say them to you or I can send that on to the ALT chat if you'd like.
Why don't you do that? And remind me last time, how was the selection made?
So selection for the ALAC representatives, the at-large representatives, will be made by the ALAC. So the deadline for all is the 31st of August, and after that, if the ALAC could approve those or endorse which ones they would like, very quickly, that would be very useful. For the other ACs and SOs, it's up to those organizations.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You told me the formal process. How was the decision made this last time? Each RALO is suggesting two. Somebody made the did the triage. How was that done last time? I may have been involved in it, but I have no.
Oh, for AFRAL or sorry, Alan, I'm not understanding. Okay, basically, Sandra can work with you. She's looking for a balance of new and experience.
Okay, Sandra will work with me to be confirmed with the ALT and then ratified by the ALAC. Is that the process that was roughly used last year?
Yes, that we can use that, yeah.
Okay, done, settled.
Okay,
next issue, crop. Are all the crisis problems addressed with crop, or am I going to get another email tomorrow saying something is not?
I'm not convinced they're all solved just yet.
My understanding is we will either use the old crop team or some subset thereof that are still available. I think I saw emails saying Dave believes that will be done in sufficient time.
Oh,
if anyone believes that is not the case.
Well, we've kind of got the horse and cart confused yet again because we've got the existing crop review team, which appears to be more than willing and able to deal with this issue. And indeed, some of us have already put to the list our comments on the AP proposal, which is the one of particular concern. But Dave's saying, of course, that the outreach and engagement working group has to meet and approve the regional strategy first, which is another 2 or 3 days hence, which is therefore another week closer to it not being possible for AP RALO again for, I believe, the third year running to not put in sufficient crop.
Okay. The item is on this agenda to alert me that there's a problem then. When is the Outreach and Engagement Committee work meeting?
A couple of days hence. Girls should know.
Charlotte, everyone, it's Monday the 3rd.
So
many weeks does that give us before the AP RALO application? I think it is so close to deadline.
Cheryl, sorry to interrupt. This is Heidi. I've worked closely with Dev on this, and the 3rd is the last day that the O&D subcommittee can choose it to get it in time.
Okay.
Exactly.
So we need it pre-ratified, pre-agreed to by the crop group on Monday, and we need the strategy approved by the outreach and engagement on Monday. And if there's some reason anyone believes that is not going to happen, please talk to me privately.
I shall do then, because I have my doubts.
All right.
This is Dave.
And Dave is on the call. Oh, I thought we were just talking about you. I didn't realize you're here. Yes, please.
Okay. I have communicated to the to Janice and Rob, and they kind of tentatively saying basically they're saying they're en route to various locations, but they'll check in with constituency travel and see what can be done. So there's that. There's something else regarding the crop RT though, and it's it won't be solved for this Monday, and it's not going to affect the AP RALO proposal. But there was a conversation in March this year which called for a reconstitution of the crop RT team, and there were some decisions made, but then it was put off. And I imagine what happened was that everybody's busy, so we never got around to it. And the discussion was that any appointees to the crop would have to be ratified by the RALOs and so forth and things like that.
They do not have to be
ratified. If you recall that discussion.
Dave, the decision that was made was the crop review, the two issues. Number one, until there is a new crop review team, the old one, or whatever parts of it remain alive, make the decisions. So
yes.
There is no reason
Understood.
To delay because of
yep.
that, number
yep.
one. Number
Understood.
Two,
yeah.
Number two, the yep. constitution of the new crop review team will be made up by selections representing each region by selected by the members of the finance and budget subcommittee and by the crop by the outreach and engagement committee. So I am assuming mm-hmm. that in Monday or very soon afterwards you will have five
yeah,
names
yeah.
to contribute to the new crop review team. I have asked for a budget and finance committee meeting to do the same. So
Very
they
well.
Should be in place. They do not have to be ratified by the RAO.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Okay.
Thanks.
The RAO has already put people on the committee. If they're putting someone on the committee who they then think is not going to be a good candidate for the crop review team, I have to ask why did they put them there to begin with.
Well, I won't talk about a certain RAO, but okay.
That's why we're having the choice made by the whole outreach and engagement and the finance and budget, so it's not purely an appointment by the RAO. And that's at Cheryl's request, so I'm presuming she's happy with that. And she has a smiley face on. Anything else on this issue? The optics and the public relations of this Asia-Pacific crop excursion not going ahead are bad, so let's try to make sure that we move whatever has to be moved to make it work. Any further discussion on that one? Seeing nothing. The next item is a question for the people on this group to start with. When I get emails, some of them get filed automatically in mailboxes because I don't necessarily want to look at them immediately. There is a significant problem because the mailing lists are generally set up to eliminate multiple mails, and I believe that can be changed on a person-by-person basis. Does anyone else have problems that things get filed away in a mailbox they don't look at, and they never actually see the message, which also may have gone to the ALAC list? Am I the only one who has that problem, or are there other people? Nobody else has the problem. No one else is on the call anymore. Is there anyone alive out there?
Yes, we're
Helen
alive.
And Olivia,
it's
we're
like
all
you're
typing.
The one with the problem.
I'm the only one with the problem. Okay, I will solve my own problem then. If it was a general problem, I was going to suggest something, but if it isn't, then I will make sure it gets fixed. The next item on the agenda is ICANN 54. We have 25 minutes. I would like to go on to the next item, which I don't think will take very long, and then go back so we don't cut the Dublin meeting short again like we did during the ALAC meeting. Are there any action items from the ALAC meeting that we need to discuss here? If they're just action items for me or for staff that are clear, we don't need to discuss them. Anyone on staff? Heidi? Ariel?
This is Heidi. I'm just looking, but nothing really stood out that was urgent. No.
Okay. The last ALAC meeting had more attendees than I've ever seen before in my life. Do we know why? We had people who we haven't seen in 2 years showing up. Does anyone have any idea why we were suddenly popular? No one has any idea. Okay. Heidi, your hand is up. Does that mean you want to speak?
Sorry, I'll put it down.
Oh, okay, so no one has any idea. All right, I was just sort of curious. And lastly, we need to do something at the beginning of the meeting so we know what ALAC members we have and whether we have regions covered. if anyone has any neat tools around, then suggest them. I have one idea in my head, but I'm not quite sure how to implement it. I think we really want to try to get to the point where we're starting these meetings on time, and we're not doing really well right now. So just a heads up that if you have any thoughts on what we should do, then speak up. I did, by the way, go in and edit the agenda for that ALAC meeting and add a line that was missing, that is absences. People, ALAC members who hadn't sent their apologies and didn't show up. And I'd like that to be a standard item from now on, please. And I now turn it over to Gisela, since Leon, I believe, is not on the call. And the rest of the meeting is yours, Gisela, other than any other business, Alan, if anyone has any. Go ahead.
Alan, thank you. Gisela here for the transcript. Just to say, with regards to your previous point with the ALEC call and the ALEC members on the call, what I do try and do in the top right-hand pod is put the ALEC members, I specifically write ALEC and then EN, which just means other English participants, and I do the same for the other languages. What I can do in under ALAC is put all the regions. And I usually have the names of everyone and put them in bold as we go so that I can read through the attendance. And then I also know who's not on the call. And those names of the ALAC members not on the call will now just be moved down to the line that you've just added.
Okay. That may be good. We probably don't need to delineate the regions once the agenda, once the meeting starts, but as a start, that may be a simple way we can handle that. Thank you.
It's just, Gisela again, it's just a good visual in your right-hand pod. I just keep putting the names in as people come on, and you will have a clear vision on who's on the call.
Yeah. No, I like the idea of bold. That's good.
Okay. Coming on to the next point of the Dublin meeting, we had a staff meeting yesterday, and meetings team were kind enough to join the call. They knew that they were going to get bombarded with questions. The main questions that I asked for now was, as we are at a conference center similar to the Durban setup, I wanted to know the timings of the meetings. We're not able to confirm the timings as of yet, because bearing in mind that whatever time a meeting starts, tech have to get there ahead of time, interpreters as well, security clearances to get into the building, etc. So there's quite a heavy logistics behind starting a meeting earlier. We would need to start at about 8 a.m. and let's plan on finishing at 6:30 p.m. If the meetings can be extended, we will be notified, in which case we have a little bit of a leeway. There will be food stands as well. With regards to getting a takeout, I'm sure I can arrange something for that for the Friday, depending on what the budget allowance is. I'll follow up with Heidi with that. And also, I'm just thinking ahead for any ad hoc informal meetings, etc. Often people tell me, can you just organize drinks? We just want an informal meeting with this working group, or can you get so-and-so to meet up with me? We've got to bear in mind that in Dublin it's going to be a little bit of a chessboard, because we're in several different hotels with the numbers 6, 7, or 8. We are not going to be able to have our usual breakfast meetings, lunch meetings, drinks, dinner, etc., or it will just need to be centralized in one of the hotels. I did ask for the room allocations for the ALAC members, liaisons, our main contacts, so that I can have that, and if you do need any meetings set up, I can at least assist you with that, because I'll know where everyone is. That's all the information we've got for now. Are there any questions with what I've just said? Radio silence?
No questions for me. I guess we need to soon start soliciting people for what do they want. I don't think we want to lock things in right now, but I think we want to start putting together the list of meetings that people want, and open sessions and topics to be discussed at the in the ALAC closed sessions. We do have the Saturday this time, so we have a full extra day that we've never had before. And so we have a fair amount of flexibility and hopefully time to have some substantive discussions over things. But that means we do want to think about what it is we're going to talk about. And to the extent possible, we really want to do our homework and have discussion papers or things circulated well ahead of time so we're not doing everything cold. So I think the onus is on us to demonstrate that we're using this extra day effectively, and that's going to require a fair amount of planning, I think, on the parts of all of us. Cheryl, you have your hand up.
I do, Alan. Sorry. This is me having not followed up from the last ALAC call when I had intended to contact Gisela and Leon, so I'm going to do it now. Sorry. I just want to raise the issue regarding the ad hoc accessibility working group's normal slot in face-to-face meetings. I would like very much to have a 60-minute allocation, at least a 60-minute allocation, but if at all possible, we need to have it at a day and time where wider ICANN community member participation is maximised. And Heidi will understand my rationale for wanting to do that, but it's extremely important that we have it at a day and time where it is highly likely that anyone from the ICANN community is able to attend. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. Anyone else? Back to you, Gisela, then.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl, to respond to your request, just I'm working on this with Leon and with Alan. We will be sending out a note to all the working groups to find out who would like a meeting. We are going to try and prioritize the active working groups, if that makes sense, and I have already made note for the accessibility, so seeing that that is the first one that's come forward, even though I haven't sent the email out yet to the other ones.
Preemptive strike, Gisela. The preemptive strike. Thank you.
absolutely. We will make sure that it is put at a much... I will take into account what you've said so that a wider ICANN community can attend the meeting, and we'll also see when the block schedule comes out that we try and avoid as many conflicts as possible, and we will work on fine-tuning that. With regards to what Alan said with the topics, etc., yes, I'm open to any suggestions. I know that what Alan would like to see, as opposed to seeing the schedule that I usually send out, which you will still get, this just allows you to give an overview of the duration of the Dublin meeting, where you'll see the LTP running, the CCWG meetings running, the GNSO meetings running of interest. This just gives you a broader view on it. I know that you'd like some bullet points, and this is what the ALT will need to be working on with Leon, Alan, myself, and Heidi on the topics that you wish to see on the agendas. As Alan said also, that we've got the extra day of Saturday, but we'd like to avoid any last-minute agenda building, and just to make sure that we're all arriving, we're all clear what we're going to be discussing, and if there's any additional input, even from the ALAC, we can request this on the last ALAC call prior to the final schedule being published.
Yep. Thank you, Gisela. There will, of course, be last-minute changes, and hopefully we have enough time with the extra day that we can build a little bit of slack into it. But the major topics, I think, we want to have known ahead of time so people can do preparation. But it's going to be a challenge, and I think we're going to have to, as I said, demonstrate that what we're doing is, in fact, a good use of the extra resources that we've asked for. Anything else on the meeting on Dublin?
Alan, this is Heidi.
Go ahead.
I think Gisela is going to mention the same thing. Gisela?
Then one of you mentioned it.
Sorry, I also see that Holly had her hand up, but she's dropped from the AC. Holly, are you still there?
I'm sure Holly wanted to say she wants to schedule a meeting, but we don't need to schedule meetings on this meeting.
Okay, then, Alan. So Gisela and I were not reading each other's minds.
Sorry, I do.
Oh, Gisela, go ahead.
sorry.
Holly is back.
I think that Heidi may. I just wanted to get into the social events, just that I'm clear on what we need to be scheduling logistically, and also maybe a bit selfish here, but I'm going on holiday in August, so I'd like to make sure that I've done as much work as possible before going on holiday. The good news about Dublin is that we are more than likely to have a gala or gala event on the Monday evening, so we'll keep that free for that.
I'm going to have to interrupt you, Gisela. Fatty announced today that the gala runs Monday through Wednesday, and we might have some opportunity for actual meetings on Thursday.
Wow.
24 hours a day.
Okay.
Sorry.
Wonderful.
He did actually say that, but it was done presumably as a joke at the end of the meeting. Back to you, Gisela.
So that's already good news, seeing that's being reintroduced, and it's a great opportunity for networking, and I know that the community does appreciate that time, and I'm sure it will be wonderful in Dublin. It will be involving Guinness somehow. Another point is the Uralo General Assembly, which will be held on Wednesday, two 90-minute sessions, time's not yet confirmed, and in the evening, as opposed to having a showcase, we'll be having a Uralo networking event. Likely to be a cocktail, etc., but more details to come on that. So we'll keep the Wednesday evening free. Just to get back to the social events, Alan, a question for you. Will we be having an ALT dinner? And if so, when? My question being that this time we have our day on Saturday, which is the additional day, the strategy day. Do we have an ALAC dinner on the Saturday evening? Do we only have an ALT dinner on the Saturday evening? Because I also heard mention of a dinner on the following Friday at the end of the development session.
I guess I want input from others on this. My gut feeling is for the ALT to skulk off and go to a dinner after a full day of work among the rest of the group. Is less than optimal. At
mm-hmm.
this point, it's not clear when the ALT will be meeting at all. I would tend to suggest that we can, and I don't know how possible it's going to be, to try to ensure that the ALT is all checked into the hotel by noon, so we could do something on Friday in the early afternoon. I suspect that will end up being problematic, that some of the people will not be able to show up unless they're given permission to show up the day before. And Heidi, to the extent that you may be able to finagle that, that would be optimal. If we go into this meeting with no ALT meeting, no discussion ahead of time at all, it will be the first time in many years that we've done that. And I don't find that really heartwarming. I think the discussion ahead of time is something that, you know, ends up being a very useful thing for us to do. So I guess I'm looking for some inventive ways with staff help to try to make sure that we can arrange that.
Alan, if I may, Gisela here. We were looking at options to have a, again, it will all depend on what time we can get into the conference center and if we can have breakfast meetings. I think if we request one, we may be able to do this, is to have an ALT breakfast, for instance, worst case, on the Saturday morning prior to starting off the strategy, Jay.
That certainly is the worst case, but it really is a worst case.
Or, again, not optimal because, again, it looks as though the ALT is kind of slipping off, is to keep the Saturday lunchtime. I'm assuming that we're going to have some sort of break because we did have an hour and a half break on the Sunday in Buenos Aires, which just ended up being a working group meeting during that time because we didn't have any other time. We could also do a lunch. Again, it would mean slipping away and you'd only get an hour in.
Okay. Can I see a show of hands or whatever from other ALT members and liaisons? To what extent do you believe it is really essential that we have a meeting prior to the start of the ALAC meeting. Am I the only one who thinks that's important? Apparently. Holly thinks it's important. Maureen, Olivier, Cheryl. Okay. I think we have to see if we can move heaven and earth to arrange that we get in early. Everyone there is going to be approved for at least Friday arrival. The only question is, are there going to be people who, because of plane schedules, cannot readily make that Friday morning? And I would ask all of you to look at, you know, what options you're likely to have, and is there going to be difficulty, and do we have to try to get special blessing for people to arrive on Thursday if necessary? So I ask you each to do your homework. Yes, Heidi.
So just keep in mind, Alan, that you are going to be on the 16th, there's a CWG meeting, I thought, and then there's also going to be that ACSOSG Radio Chairs meeting.
That's right.
So Friday's not going to be an optimal time.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about
Alan's
the
Alan's not reading the chat. He's not reading the chat.
No, I'm
Alan,
not reading the chat. The CCWG is meeting, so that fixes some people. But you're right,
yes.
The CCWG is meeting. So,
perhaps the time, and I can try to get you all a nice breakfast. If the ALT met at Saturday 8 to 9:30, and then the strategy session starts at 9:30.
Okay, let's keep on talking about this. Sorry, my thoughts on Friday were I forgot completely about the CCWG. Let's keep on talking offline and see what we can arrange. This Saturday morning breakfast is really far from optimal, but it may be our only choice. But, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, it's just Gisela again. Just to go on with the, if, I don't know if you want to touch base on that, with the ALAC dinners, would you like one on the Saturday evening and the following Friday evening? Keep it open. It's just, if we want a private room, and B, the logistics of herding the whole ALAC to a dinner, I need to find a place close by that there are no shuttles and taxis, et cetera, involved, because it's going to be a large group.
Are we all likely to be in the same hotel?
They're going to try and put the groups in the same hotels, but until I've seen the hotel allocation,
And it may not be possible. The people who are arriving for the Friday session may have to be in one hotel and the others in another one. So, you know, this has happened before. Let's talk on the list on this. I don't think, you know, my inclination is to say the ALT should not go off on a private dinner on Saturday. I think that would be somewhat awkward. My other inclination is to try to find, you know, not necessarily a private room for the ALAC to meet, but some place that's relaxed and, you know, I won't say a fun place, but just somewhere where people can unwind a bit after the first day. But let's continue this on the list. I don't have any really strong feelings, and I guess I'd like to get input from other people. Julie is asking Friday night. Which Friday night, Julie? The first one or the last one? First one, the chairs and I and the Railo chairs are already committed. Anything else we need to discuss, Gisela?
Alan, no, that's all from me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, this hasn't been a particularly satisfying meeting. There's an awful lot of things we're putting off, but I'm not quite sure there's a lot of options at this point. Any other business? If not, then I call the meeting to an end. Olivia, you said you're busy right after this, So we need to get together tomorrow sometime, my morning, your afternoon, and try to put that comment, that statement to bed. Then I call this meeting to an end. Thank you all for coming. And for those of you who have been in CCWG meetings all day, or all night for some people.
I was going to say, yes.
Get some rest, one way or another.
Oh, yeah, because our working day is not starting or anything.
you've given up earning money anyway, so just like many of the rest of us.
Actually, Alan, I've got a dinner party to organize for tonight, so I'm going to be cooking my tits off all day.
Yeah, but that's fun stuff then. Take care, all.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everyone.